From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy Monday to you, ladies and gentlemen. And I trust that you are doing well. Had a great weekend. We have got a lot going on today, everybody, and we start in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., Arlington National Cemetery, where really I think the definitive moment of this presidential campaign and what this election is really all about is taking place. Today, of course, is the third year anniversary of the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. 13 American service members died. 13 American service members died during the botched evacuation at the airport in Kabul at Abbey Gate. And today is a very important day. Today is a somber day in American history. And we need to be talking about it. And hopefully American school children will learn about this day. And they will understand about the ultimate sacrifice that was made on this day. So we're going to be talking about this today. Folks, I will tell you this. It's despicable what's happening right now. It's despicable that the President of the United States, Joe Biden, did not show up at today's special ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery. I find it reprehensible that the Vice President, Kamala Harris, the last person in the room when the decisions were made, the last person in the room was not there today. As a matter of fact, there was only one president of these great United States who had the courage to show up, who understood the importance and the significance of this day, and that was Donald J. Trump. President Trump was at Arlington National Cemetery to lay that wreath today. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is on a beach in Delaware, sunbathing. We don't know where Kamala is. We do not know. As a matter of fact, there's nothing on her official schedule today. So it's not as if she couldn't just show up. It's not like she had some sort of a campaign event or another sorority girl meeting. She could have been there if she wanted to, but she was not. Now, CNN and little Jimmy Acosta, they're all in attack mode today, and they're accusing President Trump of playing politics. But there were no speeches given today. The only thing that happened was President Donald J. Trump laid a wreath in honor of the fallen in Afghanistan. And then the president unleashed on social media. Here's what he wrote. This is the third anniversary of the botched Afghanistan withdrawal, the most embarrassing moment in the history of our country. Gross incompetence. 13 dead American soldiers. Hundreds of people wounded and dead. Americans. And billions of dollars of military equipment left behind. You don't take our soldiers out first. You take them out last, when all else is successfully done. Russia then invaded Ukraine. Israel was attacked. And the U.S. became and is a laughingstock all over the world. The fake news media remains silent in order to protect the worst administration in the history of our country. MAGA 2024. Well, he's right. I mean, and you hate to, I mean, you hate that this is the way things are, but this is the way things are right now. And the reality is that it didn't have to be that way. The reality is you've got a bunch of DEI hires running the Pentagon right now. Did you expect anything else to happen? I mean, I don't think so. So anyway, we're going to be playing some audio from today. As a matter of fact, this is some audio from the parents of Staff Sergeant Darren Taylor Hoover. Now, I'm just going to be perfectly honest with you here, folks. Biden doesn't care. He just doesn't give a rip. He doesn't care about the military. Neither does Kamala. They don't care. And we know that because if you remember back when the bodies of the fallen soldiers were returned to America, and there was the ceremony at the airport, and Joe Biden was there with Mrs. Dr. First Lady Jill Biden, the evil stepmother, And there they were, and Biden could not be bothered. He was looking at his watch as they were, as the bodies were coming off the back of the transport plane. These are the parents of Staff Sergeant Darren Taylor Hoover, Cut 16.
You know, the stumbling, bumbling buffoon that we have in the White House said what he said, had the audacity to say that under his watch, that no military members have died. And the rage and the absolute disgust that I got from hearing him say that, I started yelling back at the TV. Just out of frustration. He's never acknowledged, not one time, any of our kids. He's never said their names, even to this day. I doubt very seriously that he even knows their names. And so last night was just another piece in the whole dang administration that they don't care, and it shows.
I feel bad for these parents. I feel bad for the spouses, the widows and the widowers. I feel bad for these people. They were let down by their country. They were let down by the commander in chief. The greatest thing that a president can do is be commander in chief. And when you have soldiers that have fallen in battle, and for the commander-in-chief just to stand down and look at his watch and tap his toe like he's got more important things to do, that is such disrespect. And ladies and gentlemen, I truly hope that the American people remember what happened today on Election Day. I know that the memories are short-term. I get that. But what happened today really does encapsulate where we are in America right now, where you have Democrats who hate our military, they hate our troops, they believe that we are the problem facing the world, and then you have people like Donald J. Trump, a good and decent man, who showed up not to give a speech, not to give a big old stem winder, not to call anybody out, but he stood there silently, quietly, and he honored the fallen. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a commander-in-chief. Now, we're going to get to a lot of the polling data coming out. RFK Jr. has officially joined forces with Donald Trump, and we understand that even more Democrats are going to come on board the Trump train. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts about that. Do you believe that RFK Jr. is going to be a help to Donald Trump? I've got some thoughts on that as well, but we certainly want to hear yours. Our telephone number, by the way, is 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
There's a communist plot to take over America. The new documentary, Beneath Sheep's Clothing, exposes the dark truth.
Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of American students.
America's schools have been turned into Marxist-Maoist re-education centers.
Here's the thing about communism. When it comes knocking at your door, it doesn't say, "Hi, I'm here to impoverish, enslave, and murder you." It says, "I'm here to liberate you from oppression."
You take over the colleges of education, then you take over all the teachers, then you take over all the students, and thus you get the future.
Beneath Sheep's Clothing reveals the communist infiltration of America's education system, churches, and media. Will a political revolution be next? Or will we the people wake up and reclaim our freedoms?
Destroy the opposing country through unconventional methods.
Take America without firing a shot.
Don't miss Beneath Sheep's Clothing. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com.
By the way, I just want to say congratulations and thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We surpassed our goal of $10,000 raising money for hungry kids. We couldn't have done it without you folks. Now, just a reminder, if you gave that donation of $100 or more, you're going to get a signed copy of my book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. And if you haven't phoned in to let Lydia know and to share your mailing address, you need to do that. Also, for our listeners in Memphis, Tennessee, we have a new shipment of Donald Trump signs. So if you would like a free yard sign to let people know that you're a big supporter of the MAGA movement, then I would encourage you to just drop by the radio station and pick up your free yard sign, courtesy of our friends over at Justin Johnson over at the Collierville, Tennessee Veterans of Foreign War. Also, I want to give another shout out this morning in Edmond, Oklahoma. Got word that hundreds of people turned out today to protest the Edmond North High School. So you remember last week we told you the story here, and we've sort of been leading the charge on the program. The school told a kid that he was not allowed to post the American flag in the back of his pickup truck. And we had the state school superintendent on, Ryan Walters, who said he's investigating. Also, we had the local VFW leaders, and they are really fired up over all of this. And so together, we are trying to right a wrong. The school now under investigation. But today, this morning, hundreds of people showed up, and the video is just really remarkable. Just as far as you could see, there were cars that had the that they were flying the American flag. Pickup trucks galore. You know, it's Oklahoma. Everybody tries a pickup truck in Oklahoma. Pickup trucks as far as the eye could see, and they had American flags, every single one of them. And that's how you do it, ladies and gentlemen. And I will say this, that the good citizens of Edmond, Oklahoma, have a big problem on their hands. They've got a woke school board. They've got a school board that hates America. And let me be clear, and the school, by the way, is doubling down on this. This is ludicrous. The school district is saying they don't allow kids to come onto campus with any flags at all, and that includes Old Glory. Now, I say, what better place to teach kids to love America, to embrace the flag, than a public school, right? I mean, that's how we all learned about it. I mean, many of us learned about loving America from our parents and our grandparents and our aunts and our uncles, but we also, that was also reinforced in the public schoolroom. But not anymore. I mean, I remember as a little kid learning to say the Pledge of Allegiance and learning how to fold the flag. We learned that in Cub Scouts. I mean, these were things that you were taught. You have to raise up that next generation of American patriots. And by the way, that's the only problem here. It, literally, ladies and gentlemen, that's the problem. Is that we have allowed our public schools to become propaganda centers for the left. But beyond that, we're teaching generations of American kids to hate our country. And that's why you see, what, when you look at TikTok, for example, you can see it. Aside from all of the crazy stuff that you're going to see on TikTok, they hate America. These kids do, and they've been taught that. They've been indoctrinated. So my word of advice to the good people of Edmond, Oklahoma, is to really understand who you are voting for on that school board. Those are the most important elected positions in your communities. They've just got a bad case of wokeness. Wokeness has infected the Edmond School District, and they're going to have to root it out. And I've seen, I know what they're saying. Oh, well, you know, we say the Pledge of Allegiance and we fly the flag. No. You're telling a kid he can't fly Old Glory from the back of his pickup truck? You're a communist. I mean, it really is that, right? I mean, it is communism. All right, 901-260-5926. So a great big thank you to the great patriots who showed out today in Edmond, Oklahoma. Folks, it really is going to be a fight for the heart and the soul of our country right now. Do you understand that? I mean, it's insane. Over the weekend, there was a story out of France, and the founder of Telegram. There are so many platforms now, I get them all confused. Anyway, he was arrested in France and could be facing years in prison, as Telegram. And the guy's name is Pavel Duroy, and he has been imprisoned. And the reason why is because they're accusing him of not doing enough to crack down on misinformation on the Telegram social media page. This is a huge story. By the way, Telegram has more than 900 million users. As soon as he got off the plane, he was taken into custody. By the way, we also understand that the founder of Rumble was being hunted down by European authorities. He made it out of the country and is in an undisclosed location because they were going to take him into custody as well. There were also reports that Elon Musk, remember the British just a couple of weeks ago, threatened to extradite Elon Musk for not cracking down on what they consider to be misinformation on his page. But anyway, this is from the New York Times. A French judicial official speaking on condition of anonymity confirmed on Sunday evening that Mr. Durov was in police custody. The reason why is because it's related to the spread of what they call illicit material on Telegram, but it's really nothing like, you know, pornographic. It's talking about content. A lot of people talking about censorship and government oversight. Crazy stuff going down. All that to say, it's about to happen in this country. If Kamala Harris and Tampon Timmy Walz get elected, they will come after social media. No doubt about it. And I know that because Tampon Timmy, just a couple of months back, did an interview. And in this interview, he said that there is no guarantee for free speech in the United States of America. And he said that hate speech and misinformation are not considered to be free speech. Well, the question is, okay, well, that's the case. Well, who gets to be the decider? George Slopidopoulos? Gavin Newsom? Who's the person out there that gets to decide what is and is not hate speech? So I'm going to break it down for you real quick here, folks. What's happening across Europe right now? And hear me on this. If you have a social media platform, if you are a conservative and you have a social media platform, I would not be traveling anywhere across Europe right now because there's a very good chance you could wind up getting arrested for what you write on Facebook, what you post on Instagram or X. I would just stay in America. But if Tampon Timmy and Cackling Kamala get elected, they're going to be cracking down on us, too. And that's the concern. I will be spending life in prison just based on what I wrote a few days ago on X. Might even get the death penalty. So all that to say, this is why we have to take a stand. Years ago, back in 2015, I wrote a book called Godless America, and I posited in this book that we were on the cusp of a major change in this country, and it was going to happen slowly but surely. And I referenced a Pew Research poll that showed 40-some-odd percent of millennials back in 2015 believe there should be crackdowns on free speech. And that number has risen every single year since 2015. So now you have a majority of Americans who now actually believe that there should be limitations on our civil liberties. Where are people getting this? Well, they're getting it from their local schools. They are using our tax money to fund these public schools, and they are using them to turn our kids against us. And by us, I mean the United States of America. And so that's why parents standing up and fighting back in Edmond, Oklahoma is so vitally important. Absolutely. All right, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be talking with Chris Ruddy, who is the CEO and president of Newsmax Media. And we're going to have a great conversation there. By the way, have you made the switch to Newsmax? Curious to hear what you think about the programming on Newsmax. Give us a call. Congressman Ron Estes joins us as well. Also, Karen Taylor Robson weighs in from Arizona. Big, big stories involving the election there. And also, election troubles. I'm just going to tell you. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
You
You've asked and MyPillow listened. The most requested offer ever. Right now, you can get the queen-size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I love MyPillow, made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs regardless of your sleep position, and it helps keep your neck aligned. It holds its shape all night long so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. You can also get a six-piece kitchen or towel bath set for only $25 and the brand new mattress topper for as low as $69.98. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. So don't delay. Order now. Use my promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Oh, this is great. So after the Arlington Cemetery event, ceremony, President Trump decided to hop over to a Vietnamese restaurant in Falls Church, Virginia. And this is beautiful. We are facilitating the audio. This just happened. So we'll get you. We're going to play some of that in just a little while. But again, to see President Trump's interactions. And by the way, the folks in that Vietnamese community, huge Trump fans. Huge. It's pretty awesome. All right. Let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Webb in beautiful Portland, Maine. Hi, Webb. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt. You know that that story you told about the school that won't allow the flags on people's cars? I think all those parents who protested might well sew a flag into a T-shirt and make all the kids wear it on the same day and maybe for a week. And I don't understand how the school board could ignore that. Are they going to throw out the whole school? What do you think?
Webb, I think it's a great idea. I love that. And again, I think it just goes, there's a much bigger problem here. And that problem is the school board who came up with that rule. Honestly, there ought to be only one flag. Okay, well, maybe throw in two. You got the state of Oklahoma flag. Two flags that ought to be flying at that school.
What we're dealing with is people who are bullies and who will just keep it up unless you do what you always have to do to a bully. You know what I mean?
I love that. Webb, going back to when you were a little fella, back when you were in school, did your teachers, did your local school promote patriotism?
Well, Todd, we had the Pledge of Allegiance every morning. We had the American flag and the Marine flag and the Ten Commandments prominently displayed.
Wow.
In my high school.
You know, I remember we used to have the Gideons come to visit. You know, they would give you the little Bibles, and then you had the American Legion, and the American Legion always sponsored a speech writing contest for the high school kids. So it just seemed to me, Webb, there was a time. I graduated back in the late 80s from high school. So it just seems to me, at least back in the 80s, that there was still a very strong patriotic flavor to the public education system. I'm just kind of wondering, where did it all go off the rails? Was it in the 90s or 2000s?
The Department of Education is where it went off the rails.
Oh, big time. Big time.
That was Jimmy Carter's contribution. Thought it was a bad idea at the time. But, of course, when I said that to people, everybody said I had three heads. And so, you know, I just stopped. But the Department of Education has been more destructive to the American education system than, frankly, the Soviets have.
Webb, well, it's right out of the Soviet playbook. And, I mean, going all the way back to Khrushchev, and they told us that they laid out the plan. And that was one of the reasons. And I'll get to the Ronald Reagan movie in just a second, but that's one of the reasons why it was so important to root out communism in Hollywood because they were literally shoving communist propaganda. They were coating it in sugar, and they were shoving it in a lot of the movies, a lot of the TV shows of the time. And that's why that became such a hot button issue. But yeah, it's Reb, I love your idea, and I thank you for the call. And I am curious, ladies and gentlemen, when did things start going off the rails? Because I remember back in the 1980s that we were doing the Pledge of Allegiance, we had the national anthem, and this was in a taxpayer funded, you know, public school. I'm just curious. I got to see a private screening of the Reagan movie last night, and I hope you go and see it. I will say this, they did a fair job of portraying Ronald Reagan. I thought they did a masterful job of portraying Reagan's speech. Dennis Quaid, by the way, and we had John Voight on, and John Voight is really the star of the show. I'm not going to give any of it away. You've got to go and watch it. But I was watching it last night and taking notes, and I thought they got the faith of Ronald Reagan just really, they nailed it. It was an okay movie. All right. It wasn't like, wow. I would have been more satisfied if they would have just taken a portion of Reagan's. There are so many movies that you could make out of Reagan's life and his presidency. So many. But what they tried to do, and they literally did this. It starts with his birth and ends with his death. It's a 90-minute movie, and everything in between, everything is crammed. You don't even get a chance. It's just hard. You kind of feel like you're in a marathon, and you can't come up for air. And I was really hoping they were going to, you know, settle down a little bit and focus on the aftermath of the assassination attempt, and they just didn't do it, you know. But so it was a good movie. I don't know. It was okay. That being said, parts of it were brilliant. So I'll leave it there. I know. Look, you know what's going to happen? A lot of people, and I've already seen some of the reviews. This was masterful storytelling. No, it really wasn't. It was like, all right, he was born, let's go, and then he, you know, dies, I was just expecting a little bit more creativity. Maybe that's it. Anyway, is it worth it? Yeah, go and see it. Take your kids, and I think they're going to appreciate it. There were some funny moments in the film, but again, I thought, you know, Dennis Quaid's performance was spectacular. The lady playing Nancy Reagan, she did good. It was, I'm conflicted. That's all. That's all I'll say. I'm conflicted. All right, let's go to Mike in Maine, WLOB. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Well, Todd, I want you to listen to this statement. If there is to be blame, it properly rests here in this office. And I accept responsibility for the bad as well as the good. That was Ronald Reagan in 1983. His statement after the bombing of the Marine barracks in Beirut, Lebanon. We lost 220 of my brother Marines, 18 sailors, and 3 soldiers. Now, unlike the occupant of the White House now, who, for some reason, could even be present today, it's a celebration for the lives and the sacrifice that 11 Marines, 1 Navy corpsman, and 1 soldier gave at Abbey Gate. I got to tell you, most of us military guys out here who've served for a long time, I served 14 in the Corps and contracted for DOD and Langley for 12 years after that. I got to tell you, most of us guys out here are disgusted. And I want to tell you something right now. I want you all to go and look up Colonel Frank Ryan, United States Marine Corps. Google his editorial he just wrote. Now, Frank spent 40 years in the Marine Corps. He was recalled in 2004, the same time period as Walt. And I want you to read what Frank says.
Well, Mike, why don't you tell us real quick here for folks who may not be able to read it? Just can you summarize it for me?
Yeah, pretty well. He summarized it. This man abandoned his unit. Now, you know, Frank had already retired when he was recalled in 2004. He was not going to let the men that he had trained go into combat alone.
Let me ask you this, Mike. Do you think the argument can be made here that Joe Biden, in not showing up today, abandoned his troops? I mean, this is the commander in chief.
Yeah, there's no question. And worse off, we know what shape the commander in chief is in at this point, which is scary enough.
Yeah.
But if he's ill enough where he couldn't make it, the vice president should have been there, or a heavy representative from the Biden administration. The only representatives I saw from the Biden administration were the honor guards at Arlington, because they still fall under his purview as commander-in-chief. Those are the only ones that were there.
Mike,
sad to say.
Yeah, it's terrible. And it's disgraceful. And again, this is... When you look at the responsibility of President of the United States, you are the commander in chief. You have a responsibility, especially when lives are lost, to be there. And I don't care what your medical condition is. And by the way, if you've got a medical condition that precludes you from doing that, then you need to step down. Mike, gotta run. Thank you for that. And Mike, thank you for serving our great nation. Let's go to OG Bill in Cordova, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Bill. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. You were talking about, and thanks for having me on, by the way. It's always fun to be here. You were talking about where America started to go off the rails. And I think this has been a decades-long thing happening with, actually century-long, starting probably with Woodrow Wilson. But I think we can just lay the whole expedited, accelerated agenda at the feet of Barack Obama. He was one of the most divisive, anti-patriotic, anti-authoritarianism presidents that we have ever had. And I really think that he brought a lot of this on us just really quick. We're just flying through space with this stuff. Anti-American agenda.
The question is, will the American people have the stomach to fix this problem? And I will say this, Bill, it's happening in every school district across America, and if you don't think it is, then you're a moron. I live in what I thought was a pretty conservative area of West Tennessee. Memphis is certainly as liberal as the day is long, but even in the community that I live in, the school board is much more liberal than the average citizen in the community.
And I think some of it is just like, you know, Kamala Harris is just lying through her teeth about everything she says she's going to do. And that is just typical of the politicians that run for school board. They say, we want this, we like that, we want to do this. And then they get in office and they do everything opposite of what they promised. And the voters need to figure out how to see through that. I just don't.
Look, one of the most important things that, and if you are a Republican, ladies and gentlemen, listening here, what you need to do is make sure that your school board races are partisan races. We need to see who the Republicans are, who the Democrats are, and that way you can actually hold these people accountable, but you also can get out the vote, Bill. And that's a big, big problem, is that a lot of these are nonpartisan races, and they've got to be partisan because we have to know. We've got to at least have some semblance of, okay, this person's a Republican, so they're going to do X, Y, and Z.
Right. Getting out the vote is paramount, Todd, though. In 2018, yeah, we had 22% turnout total in Shelby County. That means less than 10% of the Republicans got off their butts and went and voted in that election. And that's the problem that we've had consistently is across the board in the in the midterm elections, people don't go vote because they don't think it matters. It's just a local election. It's just this and that. But it all trickles down, Todd, and they don't realize that.
It's true. All right, Bill, appreciate that call. Thank you for listening. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, just a few moments ago, one of Kamala Harris's top backers, a woman by the name of Kelly Robinson. Do we have this audio? All right. This is Kelly Robinson. She's denigrating the U.S. Constitution. This is audio coming from C-SPAN. She is president of the Human Rights Campaign. That's that radical gay rights hate group. I mean, these people are evil. These are the people, by the way, Joe Biden, during a speech to the Human Rights Campaign, actually called all of you Christians out there the dregs of society. So this is a very powerful, ugly, ugly group. And man, do they hate me. They hate my guts. Anyway, here is what she just said a few moments ago.
We can't just worry about protecting democracy. In this moment, we've got to reimagine it with people that look and love like us at the center. And I think for us right now, it's about reimagining freedom and this American story in a way that is more revolutionary than what our founders actually put down on that little piece of paper, but instead is the type of democracy that is by and for all of the people of this country. That's the opportunity that we have.
All right. So that little piece of paper she's talking about, it's the U.S. Constitution, ma'am. Oh, by the way, she drives a Subaru, if you know what I mean. I'm just telling you, folks, Kamala Harris gets into the office, the Constitution's gone. They are going to radically transform this nation. You've got to listen to what they're saying, and you better believe it. Because unlike the Republicans, they campaign, they do great campaigns, they've got great commercials, they run a heck of a great hearing, but nothing ever happens, except they turn their backs on the voters. But the Democrats, you better believe it, they get elected, they are going to shred that Constitution. That's what you just heard Kelly Robinson, Subaru driver, saying. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. By the way, I am incredibly excited because college football finally kicks off. Well, it sort of kicked off. You had the Florida State, Georgia. By the way, that Florida State, Georgia Tech game, people are freaking out thinking that the football season has been destroyed. I do not understand that. But anyway, I'll be very excited when the Tennessee Volunteers kick things off. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we certainly hope that, your team has a great season as well. All right. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, coming up in the next hour, President Trump has caused a bit of a kerfuffle among the evangelical and pro-life community in the Republican Party. And we've got a poll up on our website, toddstearns.com. And it's a very simple question, ladies and gentlemen. We want to know if President Trump did the right thing by saying that, first of all, by removing the pro-life plank from the party platform. But also, over the weekend, the president said he would do great things for women's reproductive rights. Now, a lot of people are now wondering if that means that the Republican Party is now pro-choice. Now, my question to you, and it's a very simple question in our poll, should the GOP abandon the pro-life platform? There are many out there now that are in the party who say that it's a drag on the party. that for whatever reason, that people are not voting for a Republican candidate simply because of the abortion issue. Is that true? Do you believe that to be the case? So we're going to be taking your calls on that, and you can also go and vote in our poll in our live show blog. Should the Republican Party abandon the pro-life plank? President Trump says he's going to do great things for women's reproductive rights. We'll talk about that in the next hour. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hour two of the big show coming up next.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the increasing cost of health insurance? Have you had enough of not having control over your healthcare dollars? Introducing ShareRight, healthcare done the right way. At ShareRight, you're not just a number. You're part of a caring community. And forget about paying excessive premiums. With ShareRight, you can save 30 to 50% compared to health insurance. Think about what you could do with all those savings. But it's more than just savings. ShareRight ensures that you have access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, with ShareRight, your healthcare is our top priority. Empower yourself today by taking control of your healthcare costs. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Great to have you with us today. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. I've got a question for you about these debates. So Kamala Harris, and by the way, I just got a message. Todd, why do you call her Kamala? Well, I call her Kamala because that's what William Jefferson Clinton said. And if William Jefferson Clinton is calling her Kamala, then I think we have to call her Kamala. Otherwise, you're saying that Bill Clinton's a racist, right? I mean, that is the argument they're making out there. Anyway, Kamala Harris had been goading President Trump into a debate, this ABC News debate. We all know it's going to be a trap, right? So anyway, here's how it's going. So they all agreed on the terms of the debate. Trump, even though he knew he was walking into a trap, said, okay, I'll do this. And the debate about the debates is over. That's what Kamala said. The debate about the debates is over. So that was 2 weeks ago, and now today, Kamala Harris wants to actually change the rules of the debate. And so Trump says, no, you're not going to do that. We already signed off. We've already agreed to do this. We're not changing the debate. And so now her campaign is coming out and saying, why are you so afraid to debate? I mean, this is insane. I understand that Trump needs to go out there. There does need to be a debate. But I'm telling you right now, ABC News, they hate this man's guts, and we already know how this is going to play out. We already know. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to our good friend from the 4th Congressional District of Kansas, Congressman Ron Estes. Congressman, hope you're doing well today. Hello, Congressman. All right. We'll try to get the congressman back on with us. But again, the story is that the Harris campaign wants to, again, change the rules of the debate. So my question to you is very simple. What do you want the Congress or what do you want the president to do here? What do you want the president to do? Should he debate Kamala Harris? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. I believe we have Congressman Estes back with us. Congressman, great to have you with us. I'm just curious here, these changes the Democrats want to make in the debate. What advice would you give President Trump?
Well, I think he should stay. They made an agreement, and Vice President Harris should stand up for an agreement. President Trump should stand firm on this is what he agreed to do, or at the very least, as you said, it's we know that ABC is going to try to trap him and discredit him in any way they can. And so, you know, he can stand up and say he'll do it his way.
Well, I know the president's coming under fire, but again, the rules were decided, they were agreed upon, and you know they need to stick with that. And I'm tired,
exactly.
I'm just tired of these Democrats. Every single presidential cycle, they always get the upper hand on these debates, and we just got to put a stop to it and put our foot down.
Exactly. Do it in a fair and open manner that's transparent, and not try to change it after you've already agreed to something because they think they can make talking points that sound better.
Congressman, I'm curious. The Democrats were all about vibe and joy. I know that even the New York Times was saying joy is not a policy you can run for the White House on. I'm just not sensing, you know, normally there's like a burst of energy and excitement. I didn't see that with the Democrats this go around.
Well, I think their burst of excitement came in the first couple of weeks after President Biden was forced out of office. And he the honeymoon period, if you want to call it that, for Vice President Harris happened at that point in time. And I think people, the Democrats in particular, were just so excited that President Biden was not going to be their nominee that they kind of flattered and fawned all over Vice President Harris. And, you know, in reality, now that the light of day is out there and we're really talking about, OK, what is the president responsible for? What policies do they need to be promoting? And, oh, by the way, the Trump policies were so well and executed well over the last four years during his term in office. And the Harris policies during the Biden administration were just terrible. I mean, you look at area after area, the border, you look at inflation. You look at it just one point after another, whether it's prosecuting and free bail for criminals that she never prosecuted is just from a policy standpoint, America's going to say that President Trump's better off. America's better off with President Trump in another term.
You know, the great irony here is we really don't know anything about her. I sort of feel bad for her surrogates because they're having to go out onto these TV shows and defend or promote policies that are non-existent. There are some that we know of. She said she's going to implement price controls. This tax on unrealized capital gains will literally destroy the country. Nobody's wanting to talk about it. They're saying, well, it'll never pass. She's not really serious. The capital gains tax, it's not going to happen. I've always believed that you have to believe the Democrats because they do deliver on their campaign promises.
Well, and even if a rational Congress doesn't vote for that policy, why would you want to elect somebody as president who's saying this is what they believe, what she thinks is the right thing to do? And you mentioned, you know, that there really aren't many policy points out there. If you go look at her website, you can't see that. I mean, the surrogates don't have much to talk about. But you look at things like literally a communist takeover of all of our consumer goods in the United States. I mean, that was what we saw during the Soviet Union. The shelves were empty because there wasn't good free market pricing for identifying what goods that consumers wanted to buy. If you go tax capital gains on your house that you own without having to sell it, I mean, that's just going to drag money out of people's pockets. And who's to say that that's really what the house is worth until you actually do sell it and make some decisions there? So it really is some what policies we know are bad. So we should certainly, all the American people should vote for the better Trump policies because they know how good the economy was and how things were running smoothly, and regulatory reform was canceling out regulations during the Trump administration.
Congressman, I'm curious to get your take on RFK Jr. He's throwing his support behind President Trump. We understand more Democrats are reportedly going to be aligning with Donald Trump. It's looking more and more like the Republican Party is more of a populist party. And I'm wondering, first of all, your take on RFK Jr. and how do you like this direction that the new party is going in?
You know, I think there's lots of ideas out there in terms of, and the Republican Party has always been a party of big tent in terms of looking at how do we address what issues that so many different Americans want to address, and each of us live our own lives the way we want to, and that's been always valuable. And Kennedy was railing against the institutions and the establishment that was so prevalent in the Democrat Party, and that was a lot of what President Trump was mentioning as well, is that just the whole bureaucracy and the direction that this big government's burdening America with. And so I think there's a lot of things that a Kennedy supporter can see in terms of being supportive of President Trump. I also see that, you know, as you mentioned, Democrats in general, is when you look at what policies worked, when you look at the economy growing, when you look at wages were going up when President Trump was in office, you look at opportunities that people have throughout the country. Those are good policies that you want in a president.
All right. Well, Congressman, we really do appreciate your time as always. And we have a lot of listeners over in Wichita, KQAM, the big talker. And I know they love hearing from their congressman as well. Appreciate you, sir.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. There you go, folks. Congressman Ron Estes from Wichita, Kansas. And we do have a terrific affiliate out there in those parts. I want to explain to you how this capital gains tax works. And again, I'm not going to get into the weeds here, but this is a good example of how this would work if it's implemented. Let's say that you go out there and you buy a house for, let's say, $400,000. All right. That house appreciates by $50,000 the following year. All right, just you're not selling it, you're not doing anything, it just appreciates by $50,000. So the unrealized gains tax at 25%, just 25%, right? That would mean you would owe the federal government an additional $12,500. It doesn't matter if you sell the house, it doesn't matter if you have cash on hand to pay it doesn't matter. You will owe the government $12,500. Now, according to the Cato Institute, if you don't have the cash, Kamala's system would force you, her plan would force you to sell your home or take out a loan to pay the government. That's why this is so incredibly ludicrous and dangerous. It's, folks, people will literally, understand me here, home ownership is now in jeopardy in the United States of America. So you've got at least two things we now know of. You've got Tampon Timmy, her VP. He wants to crack down on free speech. And now you've got Kamala Harris, who wants to destroy private home ownership in America. That's where we're at. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Greg in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Greg. What's on your mind?
Well, you told us to call in if we should think that Donald Trump should debate Kamala Harris. I say I'll agree to the hot mic if you'll debate me on Fox September 4th.
Oh, dangle that carrot. That's interesting.
You know, I'm going to say, you know, if you want to change the rules, you know, this is what I want. This is what you want.
Yeah, right? I like that, Greg. You think Trump's going to get a fair shake, though, Greg? Come on.
Not at all. But he's a big boy. He can handle himself.
No, he can't.
What he's doing?
He can handle himself. And I think that she will demonstrate why she is woefully unqualified to be anywhere near the White House.
Agreed. I agree with that 100%. And I think she's afraid of him, actually. That's why she's trying to change the rules.
No doubt. June 27th, that's the last time she ever sat down for an interview. Since she has been the nominee, she has yet to sit down with a single reporter, a single journalist. And that ought to just, first of all, enrage the media. But they're still in this Kamala love fest. But honestly, it ought to terrify everybody because she doesn't look. The powers that be, they know she's a dingbat. They don't want her anywhere near the media.
Right. I agree. I agree. Because they're afraid what she's going to say.
Yes.
Or not say.
Exactly. All right, Greg, good call. Let's go to Carrie. Hi, Carrie. What say you?
Oh, hi there. I was calling about whether or not you mentioned whether or not the Republicans should keep pro-life as part of their platform. They've been fighting this battle my whole life. I was born the year Roe v. Wade was decided. There's no legal or political solution. It is a cultural and spiritual issue. Pro-lifers need to shift their focus and their money and take back our institutions, the churches and the schools, just like those folks that came in and took over the robes of society back in the, 30s, 40s, 50s. That's the only solution.
Now, if I'm Trump and I'm a transactional guy, and Trump's not an evangelical Christian, okay, Carrie? But he was out there and he told these folks, hey, I'm going to stand up and defend, your concerns, whatever you guys want. And he promised that he would return the issue back to the states, which is what his nominees on the Supreme Court did. But now they're saying, oh, no, that's not good enough. We really want a federal ban. And if you're Trump, you're like, well, wait a second. You said you wanted the issue to go back to the states. And second of all, you people didn't get out and vote for me back in 2020. So why should I help you out here?
Yes, no, that's true. And if Trump could articulate what the way you just did, he would be miles ahead of where he's at in the polls. But for some reason, he cannot. And someone needs to get in his ear and help him articulate it exactly the way you just said it.
Well, we're working very hard at that, Carrie. And unfortunately, there are a lot of evangelical grifters that currently have the president's ear. And that is not a good thing. And they're all in it because, they want more money coming into their coffers on, Sunday morning service. And I understand that. But the reality is, this is, when you know who Donald Trump is and how he operates, it makes perfect sense here. What they should have done is says, Mr. President, we want a federal ban on abortion. And I guarantee you he would have delivered on that during that first term in office. But that's not what they asked for. And so we'll see how that plays out. So, Carrie, again, you say this is more of a spiritual issue, not a political issue.
Yes, sir.
All right, Carrie, great call. You give us a holler back one of these days. Ladies and gentlemen, should the pro-life issue be part of the Republican Party platform? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, here's an interesting pair of stories. The first from California, where lawmakers in the state legislature are they want illegals to live in their own homes. So they want to give illegals the American dream, paid for with American tax dollars. So the lawmakers are now considering a bill that would provide up to $150,000 in taxpayer funded home loans. They're calling it the California Dream for All. Now, here's the catch. Well, first of all, the legislation would provide a 20% down payment. So let's say you're an illegal alien. Buenos días, Todd. And you want to buy a home. Oh, I do. Oh, do. Sí. And why do I sound French? I don't understand. I've got to work on the Spanish. So anyway, you're an illegal and you want to buy a house in America. They're going to give you 20% down payment up to $150,000. Now, here's the catch. This is only open for illegals. So if you're a hardworking American, yeah, you're not going to be able to, you can't get a loan. That's, I'm sorry. It's just impossible. Now, in Oregon, it's the same thing. There is now a taxpayer-funded down payment assistance program, and they're giving illegals cash to buy houses in Oregon. And again, if you are an American citizen, you're not allowed to, you're not eligible. This is terrible. They're calling it the Camino a Casa program. Does that come with a side of guacamole? I love the guac. And a chalupa. So anyway, this is terrible. If you are an illegal, they're going to work with you. They're going to provide you a financial coach and a counselor. I mean, this is pretty awesome if you are an illegal. All right, hang tight, folks. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with us on the Todd Stern's radio program. Over 170 stations around the nation now broadcasting this program. And we're just happy that you guys are hanging out with us. We're going to have to get a bigger front porch for the radio show. There's a lot of rocking chairs we need. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, there is something that's happening in the world of broadcasting, and it is huge, and it doesn't happen very often. It's very rare when you see especially in cable television, a station just burst out onto the scene and keep growing and growing and growing. And that's exactly what's happening with Newsmax. It's pretty remarkable to hear the story and this incredible success story of what is now one of the fastest growing cable news channels in America. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to a good friend and also my boss on Newsmax, Chris Ruddy, the chief executive officer and president of Newsmax Media. Chris, hope you're doing well today.
Well, Todd, always great being on with you, and even more so because we are growing and everything's going great, and you're on Newsmax. So you've been a great addition. I think it's your fan club that's come over to Newsmax. That's why we're getting such big numbers.
Chris, I can barely make it to my seat in church on Sunday without people stopping me and saying, hey, I saw you on Newsmax. You know, that was a great interview, or you should have been tougher on whoever. And so it's been a lot of fun. And we, especially here in West Tennessee, lots of Newsmax viewers. And I have to imagine you're hearing that all across America.
Well, you know, Reuters did a study in June. It came out. They surveyed 47 countries in the U.S. They said there's 12 major top news brands that Americans are turning to. And guess what? We were one of the 12. And they're saying about 25 million people are watching our TV channel. I think it's a lot more. We're seeing about 40 million people tuning into all our platforms regularly. With the July ratings, you saw Nielsen does that. We had 22 million people tune in, according to Nielsen. We broke records. We're number 7 in all of cable. There's like 200 or 300 cable channels they rate. So it's huge. We're up in every major day part. We led cable engagement in a key day part. If you took Fox Business, News Nation, and CNBC to combine them, we beat them in ratings combined. I mean, an amazing stuff, but I think it's a testament, Todd, to the American people, that they're voting with their remote controls. They're tired of the big media like CNN. They're tired of Fox News. They're coming to Newsmax. And people can get us on their cable channels. They can get us on their streaming systems like Samsung and Roku. They can get us on their app. Just download the Newsmax app for free and start watching.
Chris, you're one of these guys, and I really respect this, that you're hands-on. You know, this is your baby. And, you know, I'm curious, take me back to the early days when, you know, you were coming up with this idea, this vision. What did you want Newsmax to be?
Well, I've always had, you know, I'm an old Paul Harvey fan.
Yeah.
And that probably rings a bell in your mind, too. And I bet you were a Paul Harvey fan. And, you know, he'd say he was there to tell the rest of the story or the other side of the story. And I always thought it was so unique because he always gave a little insight that you weren't hearing from anyone else. Paul Harvey, for those of you that don't know, was the famous radio broadcaster that sort of was in the golden age of radio. Tremendous news journalist, right? But fair and honest and balanced. And I've always felt that's what Newsmax should do, that if the American people have both sides, they'll 80% of the time make the right decision. This is why the left doesn't want to have, this is why they're arresting the guy in Telegram in Europe today. This is why they're trying to close down President Trump from all these social media, why Newsmax has been suppressed and other media, because they're afraid of the public getting both sides. They don't want both sides. They want what you can see on CNN and MSNBC, which is propaganda all day long. Meanwhile, they call that fair news. I mean, and I think people are responding, and that's why our numbers are so high and we're doing so well.
Chris Ruddy is the president and chief executive officer of Newsmax Media. You know, Chris, one of those opportunities that that I'm just excited about is that you're giving the viewers an opportunity to become an owner of Newsmax. Tell us about NewsmaxInvest.com.
Yeah, you know, we announced that we're going to go public later this year, early next year, go IPO. And that's a plan that we have. We're seeking government approval. But we also said that people could invest early if they're eligible. The eligibility is set by the government, by the way, not us. But they can go and buy preferred shares early before a planned IPO with a 7% dividend. And we've had tens of thousands. I think it's over 40,000 people go online to say they're planning to invest, find out more information. And it's very simple. You just go to the website, NewsmaxInvest.com, NewsmaxInvest.com. And, you know, my view on this, Todd, was that why we've been private for 25 years, but why don't we bring in tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of co-owners of Newsmax to share in this news revolution that we're building? President Trump did it with his company. It's worth billions of dollars. It shows that there's tremendous interest in conservative media and supporting conservative media. So we've done it so far. We've gotten the digital bank says that they've never seen the reaction like this. And it's if people are interested in more information, go on NewsmaxInvest.com, get the information, and hopefully they'll be interested in the pre-IPO preferred shares.
And, folks, we have a direct link over on the live show blog as well. So if you're driving and you need a reference, go back to toddstearns.com, and you can click on the NewsmaxInvest.com link there in the live show blog. Chris, I love what you said about a news revolution. I know on our show, I love bringing on Democrats. You know, we want to hear both sides of the story, have those debates, and let the viewers ultimately, you know, decide where they stand on the issues. And I think, you know, we're missing that in a lot of places, but not at Newsmax, which is why that's one of the reasons why I think, you know, you guys, we have seen such explosive growth.
You know, we have this African-American lady that appears in some of our promotions on Newsmax, and she'll say, I like Newsmax. They let me decide, she says. And I think that's what we're not here to tell the, you know, Fox News didn't like Donald Trump. So they were trying to push, you know, people like Nikki Haley and others to stop Ron DeSantis. My view was, I didn't, even though, as you know, I'm a great friend of President Trump. I've known him for almost 30 years. I think I introduced you to him at Mar-a-Lago.
That's right.
And so anyway, but I don't have to push him. All I had to do is give him airtime, Ron DeSantis airtime, Nikki Haley. I let people decide. And, you know, the American people, I think it would be wrong for me as the head of a network to say, I really back this candidate and I want you to accept my candidate. I just think it's wrong. And it's not right. And it's not my wheelhouse. It's not my lane to be telling the public what to think. And so Fox, people are turning off Fox. They should have just been neutral like we were. And I think that our numbers are going way, way up. And the numbers are, you know, the truth are in the numbers. So tune into Newsmax. Tune into Newsmax 2 on your program. It's on streaming all over the place. Roku and YouTube and Vizio and Pluto and Zumo. And we're really seeing some exciting times. And if people want to join with us and invest, it's real simple. Go to NewsmaxInvest.com and become an owner of Newsmax.
I love it. All right. Well, Chris, we always appreciate it when you come by. Thanks for putting me on the network. Have a great time, and it's a lot of fun. And you got great people working over there, just the best in the business.
Well, we have one of the greatest. One of the greatest, and his name is Todd Starnes, and we're really appreciative that he's on Newsmax.
All right. We're going to cut that for a promo clip, Chris, so thank you for that.
It's the truth.
All right, Chris, we got to get you up to Memphis, though. I've got to show you around town. We've got some great barbecue rib joints around here. You know, Beale Street, Elvis.
I would love it. I would love it. I would come up there in a barbecue minute. So you just let me know when.
We'll do it. All right, Chris Ruddy, everybody.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, great American patriot right here. He is the president and chief executive officer of Newsmax Media. And you know, this is how I know Newsmax is going to be it's going to be number one. It's going to be number one. And here's the reason why. I've run into so many people around the country, and they say they don't turn off the channel anymore. You see, that's the way it used to be at Fox. You get up in the morning, you watch Fox and Friends, and that was it. You know, your day and the channel always stays on Fox. That's not happening anymore. A lot of people are now switching over to Newsmax, and they're keeping it on Newsmax 24/7. That tells me that the audience is growing, the audience is devoted, and they like what they see on Newsmax. And that's what it's about. And you know what? You can agree or disagree with a host. You can agree or disagree with a guest. That's okay, because you get to make up your own mind. You know, I get a lot from people always ask me, why do you always have a Democrat on? Because I believe that we need to hear the other side. We need to understand what the other side is thinking. And I am very confident, ladies and gentlemen, very confident in my conservative beliefs, in my values, in my principles. And I believe that my values and my principles will always win the day. And if you have watched any of our debates on Newsmax between me and a Democrat, you know that we always whoop their butts. In a very kind way, of course. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, going right to the phones, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, any of you folks remember Paul Harvey? If you listen to my daily commentaries, we do a little homage to Paul every day. When we tell Americans, hello, Americans. That's how Paul Harvey used to start all of his broadcasts many, many years ago. And, you know, a lot of people, he never really did come out and say, I'm a Republican, but he certainly was conservative. And I would say he was a traditionalist in his value system. But I thought he just did a brilliant job of, first of all, he would talk about rising taxes, bloated government, and the decay of American values, which is kind of what we talk about on this radio program every day. But many of you, I know any of you folks have a favorite Paul Harvey story. He used to do those incredible rest of the story bits. And I used to love those as a kid growing up. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Steve in Arkansas, listening to us on the great KWAM. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Todd. I'm kind of like your previous caller. I'm 71 years old. I've been hearing this pro-life, pro-choice stuff my whole adult life. The big problem is neither side wants to solve it. Both sides have built an industry out of it, and they're making too much money off of it. If Donald Trump and the Republican Party want to do something about abortion and what I think the government should do, if they're going to stick their finger in it, the government, we should make decision on when life starts. If the government decides when life begins, then we can take existing laws that are on the books, and we can answer every argument and settle every dispute about abortion.
I think that's a pretty smart and fair approach, Steve, because you're right. At that point, it would take all the arguments off the table. But I want to go back to what you said earlier, because you're 1,000% right. This is big business, and it's big business for both sides. And there was a law being advanced in Louisiana, and you had a good many of these pro-lifers standing against. It would have completely eliminated the abortion industry. And you had pro-lifers opposed to it. And the reason why is because if the thing passed, which it would have passed, then you would have had a lot of pro-lifers having a hard time trying to stay in existence with their organizations. That's what it's all about.
It's about the money right now.
Big
and
time.
It's been about the money for the last 50 years.
It always has been. To a large extent, it always has been, Steve.
Let's make it about what is fair for everybody in our country and society.
But Steve, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, because right now I'm serious about this. You've got a lot of evangelical Christians out there saying, well, we're just not going to vote on Election Day. What do you tell those Christians out there who say they're not going to go and vote?
Well, what I tell people that say this is not only Christians, when they say that, I ask them, well, when they come around and round you up to take you to the camp, are you going to tell them, well, I don't believe in this stuff. I'm just not going to go.
Yeah. You know what? Fine. If you want to do that as a person, so let's just say, all right, Christian, if you decide that you're not going to go vote, that is a vote for Kamala Harris and Tampon Timmy Walz. I mean, that's all you're doing is you're giving them a vote, and you're telling people, and hear me on this, President Trump is being very strategic right now, and I don't believe for a minute that he's going to go out there and legalize abortion. For him, it's a non-issue. Because he already delivered on his campaign promise, it's a states' rights issue. So the states have to decide it. But if Kamala Harris gets in, here's what's going to happen. They're going to be killing your baby on its birth date, and they're going to be shutting down your churches using hate crime legislation. That's what's going to happen. So all you Christians out there who are saying, well, I'm very disappointed in Donald Trump. He's just not behaving like a good evangelical. He's not an evangelical. All right? He's not. The Republican Party is not a church. But it is a church. No, it is not a church. But it is not. It is not a church. It's a political. And hear me on this, Christians. You guys are the ones that screwed this up. You had the opportunity to take charge of the Republican Party and to be leaders, but you didn't do it. You didn't do it. And now other people are swooping in. That's what's going on here. All right, let's go to Alan real quick in Maine, WLOB. Alan, what say you?
I say, just like I told your assistant there, I'm a pro-lifer, but my chief complaint is that these nonprofits like Planned Parenthood are getting a win-win because they're already getting tax-free, but now, or maybe not tax-free, but tax cuts, and now they're also getting tax money.
Alan,
I think they need to cut one of them out.
Completely agree with you on that. And there's no reason my tax money or your tax money or anybody else's tax money should be used to killing unborn babies. That's unacceptable. And that is something we can all agree on. I would love to see Donald Trump advance that agenda. And while he's at it, can we please defund National Public Welfare Radio and PBS? Why are we funding these organizations?
Yeah, that's true, Todd.
Alan, I like the way you think, and you're absolutely right. We should not be paying for these abortions. Appreciate the call. We're going to be taking your calls coming up in the next hour, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, here's what I want you to do in the break. I want you to look up this website, oldglorybank.com. That's oldglorybank.com. Some people that I respect incredibly, and some incredible financial people have started a patriotic American-centric bank, and it's called the Old Glory Bank. We're going to be talking with the co-founder, Mike Ring, in just a little while. Also, Karen Taylor Robson ran for governor in Arizona. She's going to be joining us as well. All right, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hang tight, everybody. Hour 3 of The Big Show coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yes. Hello, everybody. Great to have you with us, and trust you are doing well. This is the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy Monday to you. By the way, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on the Todd Stearns TV show on Newsmax, we're going to have a great guest. The Oklahoma State School Superintendent Ryan Walters is going to join us talking about that crazy story out of Edmond, Oklahoma, where the kids were told you can't fly the American flag on campus. So we'll have a good conversation with him. Also, Dalton Glasscock, who is our chief executive officer of my company, will be joining us. Dalton, a very active person in the Republican Party, and we're going to be talking about whether or not Trump should go forward with that debate against Kamala Harris. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our next guest. Her name is Karen Taylor Robson, and she ran a pretty darn incredible campaign for governor in Arizona. Also, she is president of Arizona Strategies. And Karen, Dalton tells me that you guys are related, but I'm not sure I believe him because you're such a very nice and kind person.
Well, first, Todd, thank you for having me. And yes, Dalton is the son of my first cousin. So we are all very, very proud of him. I know the Kansas clan is very proud of him, and so is the Arizona extended family.
Well, it's he really is just a remarkable person and doing a great job there in the Wichita City Council. He's got the media after him and also the Democrats because he wants to cut taxes. So sounds like a great Republican in my book, Karen.
Yep. Anytime you have the media after you, you know you're doing something right.
That's it. And by the way, I know we haven't had you on since that governor's race, and you just ran a fine campaign. And I'm very excited for the impact that you are going to have on the Republican Party. You wrote a piece, an op-ed, talking about Kamala Harris and her credibility crisis. I'm curious what you meant by that.
Well, it's interesting to go back a year, 6 weeks, 8 weeks ago, and everybody was talking about how to get a problem, and now all of a sudden she's been, coronated as the queen and of the Democrat Party, and everybody has fallen in line quite rapidly. But she, she does have a credibility problem because, she has said things in her past and she's voted certain ways in her past that she's trying to distance herself from, and I was always taught that, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them, right? She had the hardest left voting record in the United States Senate. So I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe that rather than, what her handlers are saying she now believes in. It's just, it's hard to fathom the reality of Kamala Harris and the fiction that they are trying to create about her now.
It's truly shocking. And I think the concern I have, Karen, is that the average American, because of a large part, because of our nation's education system, we have a large swath of the population. They don't understand about American government or civics, and they especially don't understand about economic policies. And when you look at some of these economic policies, from the tax on capital gains to the price controls, this could literally destroy our nation. It's not hyperbole. These could really destroy the country.
Well, there's no question, and it's just further evidence that Kamala Harris doesn't know what she's talking about. I don't believe she's ever had a job in the private sector. I could be wrong, but I do know that the vast majority of her career has been, on a government payroll of one form or another. She doesn't understand what a price control does. And really, she doesn't need to look any further than Cuba or Venezuela to understand what happens. If you put a price control on one good, it's going to have a ripple effect through the economy, much like, her notion of giving, whoever, I'm not quite sure, $25,000 to get a new home. All that does is increase the price of homes by $25,000.
That's right.
The home builders are happy with that, but it's another giveaway of our kids and our grandkids' futures. The economic catastrophe that she will bring to this country should not be underestimated, and it will happen quickly. We're already, when President Trump was in office, we had a $20 trillion debt. That's a lot. Today, we're at $37 trillion or $35 trillion and adding a trillion every 100 days. And just for your listeners, to put that in perspective, when President Reagan was in office, we had a $1 trillion debt. It took us more than 200 years to get to $1 trillion of debt. And we're now on pace to add a trillion every 100 days. You know, we are on a collision course. We're either going to have a crash landing or we're going to figure it out and have a controlled landing. Either way, it's going to hurt. But what, you know, a continuation of the Kamala Harris administration, and we're going to call it that because she, on her own admission, has said she was always the last one in the room with Joe Biden. So her hands are all over this. And she will be the architect of the downfall of this country if people don't wake up.
Karen, you have endorsed Donald Trump, and I know you've caught a lot of flack for that in Arizona, but I'm glad you did. You also endorsed him in 2016 and 2020, so I guess at this point you're sort of used to the criticism.
That's right. You know, and in 2016 and 2020, I did it, my husband did it without much fanfare, and then in 2022, you would have thought that I had nothing to do with Donald Trump, which is simply not true because we have been a supporter of his all along. And all I can say to people today, I mean, you know, forget the past, look to the future, right? Look to the future. We have a binary choice. We have Donald Trump who, you know, is a low tax, low regulatory, you know, leader, or we have Kamala Harris. High tax, she's going to tax everything. If she can't tax it, she'll regulate it, right? And the regulations are what, you know, what stifles a lot of economic activity. And the Biden-Harris administration has been phenomenally successful in adding regulations to every aspect of our life. So the choice before us in November is a binary one where we have, you know, choice A and choice B. And so you just start asking yourself some fundamental questions about your life. Economic life, your freedoms. And once you start asking those questions, the answer becomes very, very clear.
Karen, I've got a friend in Congress, and he's a conservative guy. I'm not sure why. You know, you have in within the Republican Party, you have different factions, and for whatever reason, they don't like this particular guy, and they think, oh, he's a rhino. But when you actually dig down, you know, the guy had a 93% voting with Trump 93% of the time. And I'm like, that does not sound like a rhino to me. I just think we need to play smart politics in the party. And once those primaries are over, everybody get on board. It doesn't matter. I've supported moderate candidates, conservative candidates. You got to support the people who are the eventual nominees, because this division is going to hurt us eventually at the ballot box.
That's right. That's you hit it spot on. And if there was ever a time to come together, you know, as a party, we have to do it now. The Democrats are very, very adept at this. They do it, and they do it very well without any fanfare. They just do it. And we have got to learn from that. We all have to be looking ahead, not back. We really have to come together and execute on our mission. You know, the Democrats, I'd say that, you know, they're really good at counting votes. We're really good at campaigning. We got to get better at counting votes. We got to get better at getting our people to the polls to vote.
That's great advice. Karen, before we let you go, are you done with politics? I hope you're not, because I think we need people like you running for public office.
Well, thank you. I can tell you, I love my state of Arizona. You couldn't pry me out of the state of Arizona. I can tell you, I'm not going anywhere. I will continue to give back to my community, my state, my country, however and wherever I can. So I am not done.
Good. I'm glad you're staying there, because Arizona, I'm a southerner. We deal with humidity. I can't handle that dry heat you guys have. That's brutal.
You should try it. It's actually not bad.
All right, I'll try it once. I'll give it another shot. Karen Taylor Robson, everybody, and the website ArizonaStrategies.com. Karen, great to have you back on. We'd love to get you back on to get your take on some of the policies and stuff once Kamala decides to reveal what those are.
Okay, you call me anytime.
All right. A great lady right there, folks. Great American patriot, incredible business leader, Karen Taylor Robson from Arizona. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take your calls. I know some of you want to weigh in on your favorite Paul Harvey episodes or bits, and we're going to take those calls as well. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Let's go to the phone lines. 901-260-5926. Robert in North Carolina. Robert, I understand you've had a go of it. What happened?
Well, I went up to Asheville, me and my friend Alex, and my friend Dean. We all was up there hanging out. We seen the plane land. I got a real good picture.
So you were so this we, so hold on. So this was in Asheville, North Carolina,
yeah,
when Trump came.
Yeah, we watched this plane come in, and I got a real nice picture of it coming in. But,
oh, wow.
Well, we went up there, and we didn't get to go in or anything, but I just hung out there looking at some of the nasty stuff. People was walking up and down the street with, like, grabbing by you-know-what and all this. It was very nasty, and like your kids being there with you. I found out those people there with their kids, how nasty these people was to be putting signs up and stuff like that. You know, Trump's a great man. I mean, I've seen him here, even in Mills River where I live. He's a good man. And he's up there doing something, and nobody hardly even goes over there. I don't go over there no more. When I heard you tell your story the other day about you up there hearing the drummer, I had a friend who played in them drums back in the
day. Oh, he was one of the bongo bangers.
Mm. Yeah, I do. Wow. I do construction work, and I work with Kevin Stacks is his name. But Kevin, he was one. He got there every Wednesday night and played. And so when you were telling that story the other day, I kind of knew.
So people thought I was exaggerating, Robert. They thought, oh, there's Starnes, got the hyperbole, but it's not hyperbole.
No, but it was kind of great to go and get to just hear, and you heard him on the radio, and I got to go see the Biltmore house for the first time. Not the house inside, but the outside house. I never even got to see it before. I had a great day.
Well, I am so glad. But the Trump supporters, those were good-natured, good patriotic people.
Great people. Everybody there, they was hugging me. And I just bought my hat. I ain't never had a real MAGA hat, you know. So I felt so glad to get me one of them.
Good for you.
I can't afford to feel that way. And I wear mine because that's what people got to do, Todd, is get up there and put your hat on your head. Put that T-shirt on there with this spot. Get up there and do something to really... I mean, I don't see any Harris shirts or any Harris hats or Biden hats or anything. Get up there and support your president.
That's it.
And then go vote for him early.
That's it. Robert?
Vote early.
All right. God bless you, sir. I'm glad you had a good time. I'm sorry you had a run-in with the Trump haters. But look, that's who they are. And you never want to be downwind from these people. Because not only are their hearts nasty, they smell. And I don't know why they have bad hygiene, and I do not mean to paint with a broad brush, but sweet Lord, you need to bring a bottle of Febreze with you if you go to one of those Harris tampon Timmy things. By the way, to Robert's point, Robert, thank you for that call. Trump people, whenever you go to these Trump rallies, people are always just in a good mood. They truly are joyful, right? It's there's something about it. And it's a spirit of happiness and hope that morning will once again come to America. That's what I believe. And again, folks, when I wrote Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? I was very clear. And again, I am not a prophet by any stretch of the imagination. All right, hear me on this. I am not a prophet. But I wrote in that book, which came out in March, I wrote in the book that this election would be about communism or capitalism. That's what this race was going to be. And I know that there are people out there in the conservative world who dismiss that idea. But it was true. And here we are, ladies and gentlemen. And when you look at the far left policies coming out of Barack Hussein Obama through the lips of Kamala Harris, sorry for that visual picture. But when you look at those words, it is very clear to me that we've got ourselves a full-blown communist in a skirt. Let's go to Steve in Georgia. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind?
Well, Paul Harvey, but I always get distracted when I listen to the callers while I'm on hold. You know, it's really funny how the left always gets... They want to talk about joy. No, as you just said, it's the joy at the Trump rallies. Their idea of joy is obviously the opposite, and that's what they always do. They project. But now they're saying they're joyful. Excuse me, I don't think so. Listen to their language, listen to the media, listen to the hate. But so Tampon Tim puts tampons in boys' restrooms. What does he put in girls' bathrooms?
Mm, fair question.
Boys.
Very clever, Steve. Very clever.
Now, tell Paul Harvey, too. If I were the devil, which I know you've mentioned before, that just pretty well describes, what's happening in our country and what's been happening. That was published or put on the air in 1965 by Mr. Harvey. But the one that I really find interesting and sort of hard to process is the one about Jefferson Davis and his brothers Joseph, who owned a slave, who bought a slave from somebody in Virginia, and now this slave, Ben Montgomery, they took care of in, if you want to call it that, in Mississippi. But they taught him against the popular opinion and what the mores were at the time. They taught him how to read, write, and cipher. And so he became the manager of their whole plantation, went on to invent some things or upgraded some inventions. You can find a lot of this on Wikipedia, believe it or not. But it just flies in the face of the traditional or the common thinking that the head of the Confederacy, Jefferson Davis, and his brother, both slave owners, would help this slave, and that was their philosophy. They want to help these people learn, not just Ben Montgomery, but others that they had relationships with, slave or whatever. And that's just a really interesting story. And it makes you scratch your head about human nature when you think, okay, what was Jefferson Davis thinking? How did all that process, how did that come down? And he said, he wanted to help these people.
It's, and that's one of the reasons I loved Harvey's stories like that, because you do get to know the rest of the story. Another one is Nathan Bedford Forrest. And if you believe the Democrats, Bedford Forrest is worse than Satan. They credit him with founding the KKK. But the reality is there was more to that story. When he became a follower of Jesus Christ and he renounced his past and he spent the remainder of his life, Steve, trying to help the black community in the South by teaching Sunday schools, by teaching boys and girls how to read, and by becoming a member of the civil rights community. And, again, if you're going to tell history, you got to tell all of it, the bad and the good, and the redemption that we all can experience through Jesus Christ. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. Had a little bit of church in the show today. We'll be right back, everybody. Welcome back, everybody. By the way, I want to go to the phone line here real quick. Gene from North Carolina is hanging out with us on our Facebook stream. And by the way, you can actually watch the show a number of different ways. Rumble TV. You can also watch us on Getter and, of course, our Facebook live stream. And Gene, I understand that you've got a favorite Paul Harvey story.
I do. And I enjoyed his stories quite some a great deal. But the one I wanted to highlight is the one where he so articulately set out the circumstances of two babies' birth, and that they had similar backgrounds. The pregnancies were unfortunate. They were not within marriage. They had a hard time growing up and all these different things. And it said, if you were the parents or the person who had to decide to abort, whether to abort the children or not, you would have a tough decision, because one of the children would have been Leonardo da Vinci and the other one would have been Adolf Hitler. Mm. And that, I cannot remember the title of that one or when it was played, but I did look up some of those facts he mentioned, and he was right. There was a lot of similarity in the circumstances of their being conceived.
It's amazing how Harvey could take some of these complicated, controversial issues and really not only get to the heart of the issue, but it just knocks you upside the head as well.
It does, because, it just kind of, for me, I was very young when I heard that, and I had heard all the arguments for and against abortion and all that. But that really stuck with me, and I never really became pro-choice.
Wow.
Couldn't do it, especially after I had three children myself and found out how different they were in utero. But aside from that, we do as a society have to decide whether children are worth protecting or not. And if they're not worth protecting, then I feel like that if that's our attitude, we're going to have a lot more abuse and neglect within our society, because you know, you have to think that little babies are precious to take proper care of them, because it's hard.
Well, you're right, Jean. It is. And I would like to see the church, you know, it's really interesting when you see the amount of pressure that the pro-life groups put on the candidates. I would like to see that same amount of pressure being used on the churches. Aside from, I mean, the Catholics are out there and, you know, they're kicking everybody's butt when it comes to, you know, standing up and defending life. I would like to see the other churches in America get involved.
I am one of those Catholics, and I wish that I could be more effective at getting the word out. But I think people have to really dig deep into their hearts and figure out exactly what this is all about. And why is it a political issue? It should not be a political issue. It should be a personal issue, which all of our personal decisions reflect on our society and what kind of society we're going to have.
It's a fair point. And again, we had an earlier caller, and I thought this was a brilliant observation, is that ultimately the decision must be made by Congress is not about abortion, but when life actually begins, because at that point it qualifies as murder under the statutes.
And I'm especially fond of the little saying that says, if the ending of a heartbeat means a life is finished, the beginning of a heartbeat should sustain meaning as a life beginning.
Well said. Jean, thank you for that, and thank you for calling in. Give us a holler back. I like Jean. I want to switch gears here for a moment and talk about the Kennedys. And there's a lot of anger within the Kennedy family surrounding RFK Jr. RFK Jr. now on Team Trump, and he says more Democrats are going to come on board. I'm just curious, any of you RFK supporters out there, does this change your opinion of him? Curious to hear that. I want to play some audio from Carrie Kennedy, and she is very upset that her brother embraced Donald Trump. By the way, this is huge news. The Kennedys are treated like Democrat Party royalty. I mean, if there was a crown here in America, it would be on the head of one of these Kennedys. So anyway, here's Carrie Kennedy, Cut 18.
You know, I think this is really the stakes this November couldn't be higher, which is exactly why my whole family will be fighting so hard to reelect Kamala Harris and Coach Waltz, who've been champions for the values that my family has fought for years. Donald Trump is the polar opposite. He's a threat to the most basic freedoms that are core to who we are as Americans, the right for women to control our bodies, the right to live in communities safe from gun violence, to love who you love. And I think if my dad were alive today, the real Robert Kennedy would have detested almost everything Donald Trump represents, his lying, his selfishness, his rage, his cynicism, hatred, racism, fascist sympathies, deliberate misinformation about vaccines, criminal felony convictions. Daddy was the Attorney General of the United States. His rape of E. Jean Carroll, his contempt for the poor and suffering, for ethics, democracy, healing, his cruel sneering at human rights for suffering of people in America and around the world. And these are the causes that was loved so passionately by the real Robert Kennedy. So I'm outraged and disgusted by my brother's gaudy and obscene embrace of Donald Trump. I completely devout and separate and dissociate myself from Robert Kennedy Jr. in this flagrant and inexplicable effort to desecrate and trample and set fire to my my father's memory.
Yeah, wow. I will say this. Ought to be one heck of a Thanksgiving celebration over the Kennedy compound at Hyannisport. Jeez, Lou. So look, Gary Kennedy, very, very upset. She's disgusted. Obscene. Wow. So I'm just curious here, and I don't mean to pour gasoline onto the Kennedy family feud here, but I'm just curious about something. Was Carrie Kennedy just as disgusted that her own father helped cover up the affairs of JFK? Was she disgusted? There was a lot of hashtag B2 stuff going on back in the 1960s. And the media at the time literally turned a blind eye to it. They refused to report. I mean, it was very open that JFK was cheating on his wife, Jackie. Jacqueline Onassis Kennedy, well, she was not Jackie O then. She was just Jacqueline. But he cheated on his wife. It was horrible. Just destroyed their marriage. But the media turned a blind eye. So I'm just wondering, is Carrie Kennedy okay with that? Is she okay with the fact that her uncle, even though he was assassinated, and we take nothing away from JFK, I'm just trying to understand this. You know, they talk about the allegations surrounding Donald Trump. Well, there's rock-solid proof surrounding JFK. So is she going to hold her own family members to that same level? Is she? But let's talk about something else. Let's talk about Ted Kennedy, the Lion of the Senate, a man who was heralded by both Democrats and Republicans, Ted Kennedy. Ted Kennedy drove his car, an Oldsmobile, by the way, off of a bridge into a pond on the island of Chappaquiddick. It happened on July 18th, 1969, 37 years old. Ted Kennedy survived the crash, but his passenger did not. Mary Jo Kopechne, a lovely woman who, by the way, was not just a secretary. She was a political operative and was a rising star within the Democrat Party. Now, the car went off the bridge into the pond, flipped upside down, and Ted Kennedy saved his own life, but he did not save hers. As a matter of fact, when Kennedy's friends arrived at the scene, they literally dove into the water and they tried to save this young woman. It was too late. She had already drowned. And we don't know a lot about what happened because there was a massive cover-up, but Kennedy was at a party on Chappaquiddick Island with the so-called Boiler Room Girls. These are the women who worked on his brother, Robert F. Kennedy's presidential campaign. So a lot of people were wondering why it was that Ted Kennedy, who was a married man at the time, was out partying after 11 o'clock at night with a 28-year-old. Why is that? So a lot of questions. Kennedy should have faced a lot of charges, including vehicular manslaughter, but he didn't. He didn't. He got off on it. And if you watch the movie about Chappaquiddick, you will be enraged over what the Kennedy family did and the cover-up that was involved. But again, I'm just wondering, does that disgust the Kennedy family too? Just wondering. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, don't forget tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, you can watch the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. And we've got some great guests lined up, including Oklahoma School Superintendent Ryan Walters, that crazy story out of Edmond, Oklahoma, where they're cracking down on the American flag at a high school. So be sure to tune in tonight at 5 o'clock on Newsmax. Well, some pretty exciting news coming out of Old Glory Bank, which is the pro-America online banking community. They do some incredible stuff. It is an incredible community bank, and they are incredibly patriotic, and they're just announcing a free $100,000 line of duty death benefit for America's protectors. I want to bring into the conversation Mike Ring on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. He is the co-founder, president, and CEO of Old Glory Bank. Mike, good to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Great to be here. Well, let's talk about this. Tell me how you guys came up and why you decided to offer this incredibly generous thing to our law enforcement officers.
Well, we are blessed with some of the best co-founders in banking. Our co-founders at Old Glory Bank, and we're got one beautiful branch in Oklahoma, but because of our great online banking, we have customers in all 50 states, and our co-founders are Ben Carson, Larry Elder, John Rich, myself, and others, and we all go back to what is our community? Our community is made up by people, by their values, not by location, which is your typical community bank. And we said, everyone talks about doing something for the protectors, but what can we actually do? And so this is how we came up with it. We have all you have to do is bank with Old Glory Bank, set up direct deposit if you're a protector, and those are state and local law enforcement, firefighters, including volunteers, all branches of the military, and equally important, U.S. border agents. So if you bank with Old Glory Bank, God forbid you pay the ultimate sacrifice, we take care of your family with $100,000.
Wow, that's so incredibly generous, and I have to imagine there are so many members of law enforcement, Border Patrol officers, veterans, and they're hearing this, and they're thinking, wow, I mean, this is, you know, a lot of banks, you know, it's hard to even talk to somebody at a bank, much less go out of their way to stand alongside America's heroes.
Yeah, and there's actually 5 million people in this group. And what you said is exactly right. So a lot of companies just leverage the emotion. Oh, we're pro-America, we're pro-this. We actually have the best online banking solution in the business. So you give up nothing by banking with the bank that values your values. And oh, by the way, in addition to all of our great products and services, you protect those who protect you. So not only does it make sense if you're a protector to get this, but why would you not bank with the bank who's taking care of the people who keep you safe?
You know, Mike, as we watch developments overseas in Europe right now, the founder of Telegram is in custody facing charges for not cracking down on content on his platform. You have the UK threatening to extradite Elon Musk. There is a cancel culture that is alive and well, and a lot of these folks are now going after people's bank accounts, and that's one of the great things about Old Glory Bank is that you guys are a bank that will not cancel law-abiding customers.
That's 100% right. And when we say law-abiding, we don't mean, you've got to actually commit a financial services crime. Like, for example, if you were, hint, hint, arrested and convicted for trespassing, we, of course, will bank you, and we proudly bank those people. It is truly a crime that involves financial crime. So we don't cancel people for what they believe. And we aren't the hypocrites. We don't care what side of the issue you're on. You should be allowed to say what you are thinking and what you mean, as long as not criminal and trying to incite something. And there has never been a period of time in our country like now where banks literally will cancel you and debank you if you don't agree with some of their views. And we hope it's not going to happen at grocery stores. It's not going to happen at gas stations, or they're going to turn off your power. But we and a bunch of people got together and said, we're going to do something about banking, because if the other side gets control of banking and payments, they win and we lose.
And to be very clear, folks, Old Glory Bank is a full-service FDIC-insured online bank for business and consumers. They've got customers in all 50 states. And I have to imagine, Mike, you guys have all the things that a regular bank would have, debit cards, credit cards, things of that nature.
Exactly right. In fact, we have something that almost no other bank has. If you think about banking online with your phone, you can do everything you need to nowadays, and no one wants to walk into a branch. You can cash a check on your phone. You can move money around. You can pay bills. You can send wires. But we saw one thing else. We serve middle America. Those are normal people who have jobs, and sometimes those jobs pay you in cash. And so we actually have a program called Old Glory Cash In, and you can walk into one of 88,000 locations and deposit cash, and it takes like 8 seconds. So it's easier than walking into a branch. So I like to say that Chase, big old bad Chase Bank, has 5,000 locations you can walk into. Technically, Old Glory Bank has 88,000 places you can walk into and deposit cash. And everything else you can do on your phone.
I just love this. OldGloryBank.com, folks, got to go check them out. Old Glory Bank. And again, to your point, Jim Jordan, who's a regular guest on this program, he pointed out 56 pages of evidence that the FBI was working directly with big banks to surveil their consumer financial transactions. And I don't like that. I think everybody needs to go check out Old Glory Bank.
Thank you, Todd. And there is no DEI at Old Glory Bank, just PSL, Privacy, Security, and Liberty. And read that March report that Jim Jordan put out. The last 20 pages are disturbing, where the banks are gleefully sharing data with their friends over in the administration and with the Treasury Department.
Wow. All right. Well, Mike, we got to leave it there. Again, congratulations on the incredible success. And what a generous thing you guys are doing to America's protectors. God bless you, Mike.
Thank you for helping us get the word out, Todd.
All right. There you go, folks. OldGloryBank.com is the website. Go check them out. And I don't know about you, but I get really frustrated by the big banks, right? And you mentioned, well, we heard Chase, Bank of America. You never can get anybody, and they just don't treat you right. Old Glory Bank is going to treat you right. And you heard some of the founders, Larry Elder, Dr. Ben Carson, John Rich. These are good, patriotic Americans. OldGloryBank.com. That's OldGloryBank.com. They're not paying me to say this, folks. It's just a really good bank. All right, we've got to leave it there. Again, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, Newsmax. Head over to the website. If you haven't done so, subscribe to our newsletter and our podcast. That's over at ToddStarnes.com. You be good, America.